Over the next couple weeks, we're going to hit a few of our 8 core values as a church, which are worship, authentic community, discipleship, outreach, ministry of the Holy Spirit, generosity, impartiality, and cultural relevancy. These are the ideals we are most passionate about as a church. These are the things we want to be known for. So today we're going to focus on our value of worship, and then I'm going to give you a chance to respond. We're going to look at one of the Psalms, and then we're going to give you a chance to come up here and pray your own. So as I'm speaking over the next few minutes, I want you to think about this. If God were standing right in front of you, once you could pull yourself together enough to do anything, what would you thank God for? If God is right there, you have 10 seconds, what are you saying thank you for? Or you have a minute? Be thinking about that. You can check out and just think about that for the next 20 minutes if you want. One of the great heroes in the Bible is a man named David, born around 1000 BC. David came from an ordinary family, but was selected by God to serve as Israel's second king. His real fame, of course, though, is seen in him as a worship leader, the most famous worship leader of all time. But it's important to recognize that David started out just like all of us. He started out making minimum wage. David was a shepherd and a farmer before he was anything. As a kid, as the youngest of 8 boys, David's responsibility was to look after his father's sheep and goats. And more than once, 1 Samuel tells us he rescued his animals. He rescued his sheep and goats from wild animals. It says it like this. He makes it sound like it's no big deal. He said, "I grabbed the lion by the beard, and then with the other hand, I beat it to death." This is... Okay, so maybe he's not your average shepherd boy, right? As a teenager, he kills a giant with a rock. This leads David to become a warrior, a military leader, the expression of strength. Women sang songs about him. I told Sarah she should write a song about him. This is the words. "Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands." It's a nice little rhythm, isn't it? David's killed his tens of thousands. David won more or less every battle that he engaged in, at least 4 times with the Philistines, the arch enemies of the Israelites. He always won. He was always successful because God was with him. Every time he faced a trial or a problem, he would talk to God. The Bible records 9 distinct situations where David inquired of the Lord. Not inquired like, "Oh God, I inquire of thee." Just like, "God, what do I do? What do I do here, God?" And that is what led to his vast success. So David was a shepherd and a king, but even more importantly, David was a worshiper, a poet, a harpist, the ultimate expression of tenderness. Imagine David as a kid writing songs and singing to his sheep. Bah, they're singing, he's back and forth with the sheep. And then as a teenager, his first job off the farm is to play the harp for his country's king. He played so beautifully that whenever he would play, depression would leave his king. That's some pretty awesome harping. As a king, David's passion for God only grew. On one occasion, still as king, he leads a parade, a procession of people dancing in his underwear in the streets because the Ark of the Covenant had been brought back to his city. This is the presence of God. This is the thing he was most passionate about. I don't even know how intentional he was about taking off his clothes. He probably just forgot. And he's like so obsessed with the presence of God. David wrote about half of the 150 Psalms we have in our Bibles. These poems and these prayers and these songs that have since been used by billions of people. Jesus quoted the Psalms more than any other of the Old Testament scriptures, at least 11 times. Matthew introduces Jesus as the son of David. God said, "I have found David to be a man after my own heart. He does everything I want him to do." Even when David completely does the ultimate of sins and commits adultery and has someone killed, he's still considered a man after God's own heart because he comes back to God. So David started out like all of us, but he became something exceptional. David is this ironic expression of strength and tenderness, of power and humility that can only come from an intimate, dynamic, raw relationship with God. Just read the Psalms. If you've never read the Psalms, read them. It's full of this raw conversation where David's depressed and he's like, "God, help me. Break the teeth of the wicked," he says. Let's look at one of these Psalms together. Psalm 27 we're going to look at. We're just going to look at the first few verses, the first five verses of Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Let's pray. God, would you help us this morning to capture a little bit of the truth of this passage of Scripture? And would you help us to come a little closer to finding all of our delight in you, to coming to a place of dependence upon you? I pray that you would speak to every person here today, God, and draw us into yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The source of David's success was his dependence and his delight on God. I'm going to say those two words like 100 times this morning. His dependence and his delight. David was totally dependent on God. Here he is, king, holding the highest position of power in the land, the greatest power and authority, the greatest wealth imaginable, armies all around him. And what does he say? "Because the Lord is my light and salvation, who shall I fear? Though the wicked advanced against me, though an army attacks me, even when war is breaking out," you can fill in your own blank, "when my life is completely screwed up, even then I will be confident. In the day of trouble, when everything is falling apart, God will keep me safe." See, David was completely convinced that God was going to show up in every situation, that God would act on his behalf. What would it look like for you to say with confidence, "What is there to be afraid of? God will take care of it." I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear people say that and I'm like, you're just being irresponsible. But that's the truth. How would your life look different if you lived without any fear? David was totally dependent on God. His passion, his delight was in God before it was in any other thing. One thing I ask of God, one thing I'm obsessed with, to be with you, God, just to be in your house, God. Even with all the wealth and power, his palace, his seven wives, which is like a whole nother thing, nothing is more attractive to David than God's self. I just want to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. I just want to see him. I just want to find you, God, in your temple. And the difference between David and most people in his time, and the difference between us and the difference between David and me too, is seen in his dependence and his delight. You know, worship is so much more than what we do for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. Worship is dependence and delight in someone or something. Everyone worships. Everything worships. Whether we know it or not, we all center our lives around the things we depend on and delight in. That's what it means to worship. What else is worship if it's not dependence and delight? Maybe that's how we know what we worship. What or who do you depend on more than anything else? What makes you feel the most secure or the most insecure? That's how you start to figure this thing out. What or who do you most delight in? What gives you the most pleasure? Now, I know how I would answer a couple of these things, and it's not always God. But sanctification is this process of I'm getting it a little bit more all the time. I'm getting a little bit more. Hopefully each year I'm getting a little more bald, but I'm getting a little more aware of how good God is. My dependence level is going up. My delight level in God is just going up a little bit at a time. We don't need to be David to follow his example, to give ourselves to God on a daily basis. I officiated the wedding for my niece yesterday. And, I mean, you got these two 21-year-olds standing here saying, I'm going to love you as Christ loved the church. I'm going to love you sacrificially no matter whatever happens. And I love it. It's awesome. But they have no idea what they're getting into. But we still start there. They are as sincere as a person can be. And that's where we all start with God. God, I give you my life. And then the next day he's like, all right, how about giving me that hour you were going to give to something? It's like that. It's that daily thing of giving yourself to God over and over and over every single time, every single day. Paul told the Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for people. Paul wrote from Rome and he said, give your bodies, give everything you have to God because of all he's done for you. Let your bodies, your lives, your work be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way you worship him. What would it look like? What would it actually look like for you if your life and your work, all the little details of your life, teaching, driving, cooking, building, leading, each of those became an act of worship. If you start to look around, there are people who get it. There's a lot of people in this room who get it. They have a joy that's not normal. There's this lady at Sharp Shopper. Sharp Shopper is a little grocery store where they bag your groceries for you, amazingly enough. She has too much joy for that job. She's the happiest grocery bagger, encouraging me. I'm in there grumpy, get my stuff and get out of here. And she's there encouraging me. There's this plumber who's come to my house before. Plumbing, I don't know about you, plumbing makes me swear sometimes. I mean, plumbing is really aggravating. And this guy, he's just too happy to be a plumber. He's worshiping God somehow in his plumbing. There's a soccer mom I know who sits in her minivan and drives kids around all day carpooling, so full of joy. I know teachers and mechanics, contractors, people of all different walks of life who they are serving God. They're worshiping God through their everyday work. What would happen if all of us would begin to see every circumstance as an opportunity to depend on and delight in God? We worship when we realize how very dependable and delightful God actually is. Just a brief story. So last week, I don't see him here, but this is okay. Last week, in between services, a friend of mine who's a mechanic, great mechanic, comes up to me in between services and he says, Mike, he has our van in his shop. He says, Mike, I hate to tell you, but you need a new head gasket for your van. And I'm like, okay, how bad is that? Well, it's going to start around $3,000, but I can't fix it. And so I'm like, okay, time to do second service. Here we go. And this is coming at a time with all these other financial hits, it seems. So my wife, Mercy, and I take a walk Sunday afternoon. And you know, we're stressed and we're upset about this thing. And I offer one of those, God, would you just help us with this thing? Would you just do something? That's a lot of times how I pray. It's like that. And now what I'm about to tell you, it doesn't always happen this way. You all know that, but sometimes it does. And so Monday, a gentleman in this church who I don't even know that well, he tells me he's got a toilet top for me because he had heard when I preached at one point that I broke our toilet. That's a whole other thing. He tells me, come over to my shop. I've got a toilet tank thing for you. So I go over to his shop. He gives me a toilet tank. I didn't ask him for this. He gives me the toilet tank thing that I broke Monday. Monday afternoon, I get on Amazon to return something. Couldn't figure it out. I got on customer service. They were going to give me a half refund. I was like, what's the deal? I'm a Prime customer. Right? And they're like, you know what? Keep the thing and we'll give you a full refund. This is Monday afternoon. Tuesday morning, I call Mercy and I say, will you get this and that out of the safe at the house? She goes into the safe and she's like, what's this $120 cash in the safe for? I was like, no idea. Here it was from a wedding I did 2 years ago. Somebody gave me a tip and I forgot it was in there. $120 cash. Then we need a saxophone for our son because he chose the saxophone, which costs $1 million, by the way. Why couldn't he choose the triangle, I'm wondering? So we buy it locally and it's, you know, super expensive. And then I'm thinking maybe we can find it online. We find the same exact saxophone for $500 less. I'm just going to cut that story right there. We're not just a part of some cool club. We are a part of the eternal kingdom where God actually cares about all this little stuff and the big stuff. I'm telling you, I think partly what that was all about is my dependence and my delight had started to shift away from God and into myself and other things. Oh, that head gasket, I have to tell you that. So then I get a second opinion on the head gasket from someone else, a shop that's actually more experienced with the type of van we have, and they say, you don't need to replace that head gasket, you'll be fine. They're like, there's a little something going on, which probably has been going on a long time. You'll be fine. Keep driving it. God is trying to get our attention, and he's trying to increase our dependence and our delight upon him. So worship is this everyday devotion, this serving God in all the little and the big things of life. Worship is also, and this is what we most often think of, worship is also something that connects our spirit with God's spirit and tells every other spirit what's true. And we do this thing in a group, but it really is an expression of intimacy. In John chapter 4, Jesus says that a day would come when people would worship in spirit and truth. And the word he uses here for worship, this is awesome, proskuneo, it's a Greek word, has two parts. Pros means towards, and kuneo means to kiss. So the word worship here means to kiss the feet of a superior, to kiss the ground before a superior, maybe to kiss the hand of a superior. It's more than just a salute. It's an intimate exchange that also communicates something to those nearby. Okay, stick with me on this. Yesterday at this wedding, you know, you tell the husband and bride, you may now kiss your bride. And they kiss, and it's this wonderful moment. But that kiss between a husband and wife is not just for their enjoyment. It is a clear statement to everyone witnessing, I'm with her, he's with me. When they say their vows, they're speaking to each other and they're speaking to the crowd. But when they kiss each other, it's like a shout. They're telling each other and they're telling everything in the spiritual who they're with. It's a public act. And in a sense, that's what we do in praise and worship. When we sing to God and we honor God, we are also making a clear statement to those around us and to every enemy, we are God's now. You got a problem with me? Then you got a problem with God. So we're going to take some time now to offer some of our own psalms or little prayers of worship. So back to that first question, if God were standing right in front of you, what would you thank him for? One of the purposes of the local church is to provide a space where we can be mutually encouraged by what God is doing in each of us. You can worship at home just fine. Some people are like, I don't need the church, I can worship at home just fine. Well, good luck doing that for very long. Something unique happens when we are together in a setting like this. The church is God's idea. Nobody made that up. The church was God's idea so we could be in this story all the time. So instead of just talking about it, we're actually going to do it right now. What do you love God for? So we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to bring this mic down here. Catherine's got the mic. Catherine's going to hold the mic for you, probably. Or we'll do something with the mic. I want you to come and offer a prayer of thanksgiving, an offering to God. Why do you love God? Just in your own language. You don't have to use high spiritual language. What has God done to show you some expression of his goodness, of his character? So this is a prayer time. This isn't This isn't testimony time. This isn't Bible reading time. This isn't preaching or storytelling time. This is a chance for you to come up, get the mic in front of you, hold it right up to your face, by the way, like this, and tell God why you love him. So we're going to sing this one song, and then you are invited. I'd love to see a bunch of people up here as soon as this song gets going or is halfway through, and we will just take turns offering prayers of praise to God after the song.
I simply want to thank God for being alive, and I'm sorry I'm emotional, but that's the way I am. Anyways, the Lord has been really so great to me these past months. They've been hard, but he's helped me to just every day by day, he gave me the strength to go through it. And it's too much to tell everything. And, you know, just, I want to tell you that God is just as great as he says it is. He is only greater. And he is just there every single minute you need him, no matter how hard it is. And I thank him for that, and also for my family, my husband, and my three children that were there all the time, helped me. And I just thank him for being alive. You don't realize it until you think you're not going to be. But, you know, it's great to be alive. God is really great.
Father, I just thank you for every day of my 80 years and how much you've blessed me so much. Father, thank you for this church, for this town, for these people. Thank you especially for my wife. Lord, every day, you know, I thank you for allowing me to live one more day and experience your blessings and your love. And I love you, Father, so much. Amen.
Lord, thank you for being good and just showing a different way to live than what the world teaches us.
God, thank you that you are the Redeemer, that no matter what we have done, no matter what's been done to us, God, that you don't just fix us up and patch us up and bandage us up, but you make us new. We are just so grateful that you are who you say that you are. Thank you. Amen.
And along with that, Father, I want to thank you so much for truth. The word just continued to come into my mind and into my heart while we prayed. While I was thinking about this thing, Lord, just the fact that you have exposed so many lies that I've believed in my life, that you have brought truth. You didn't just expose them, you brought truth in to replace those lies, that even things that I thought were good, God, that you've shown to be false, and you've taken those things and completely dispelled them, God. And I thank you so much for that.
Had a rough time for the last 2 years as a family. My husband has been very sick, had stents put in his heart, hospitalized many times. My guiding verse since long before I met him was in the Sermon on the Mount, right after the Beatitudes, where the city on the hill cannot be hid. And then it goes on to say my favorite part. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to thank each and everyone in this room for doing that for me for 2 years. You don't know me. You don't know my name, Wendy Haynes. But you do that. You smile at me and you say good morning every Sunday. This is probably the highlight of my week, to come here and be part of a fellowship, to know that I could ask anyone for help if I needed it. I could do anything. And I ask, if I were to talk to God right now, it would be to ask him to bless each and every one of you.
Amen. Sorry. I would want to thank God for being a personal God. Getting in front of me, stopping me in my tracks, and for years saying in every way that he knew that I needed, I love you. 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 You are mine.
I want to thank God that he is a promise maker and a promise keeper. That no matter what we see, we know that his promises still stand. And I just want to say thank you, God, that I know my God has never gone back on his covenant, never gone back on his word, and never gone back on his covenant or his promises. And I just want to say thank you, God, for the day I will see faith become sight.
Dear God, I want to thank you for being my Redeemer, being our Redeemer. God, now we can truly sing and say that you made a way where there was no way. And then when it was won and done on the cross, your mercy comes new and new and new again. And that the enemy wants us to believe that we're not good enough, that when we messed up, he's going to hold us down, that we have to get back somewhere. But God, that you say you're there, here, today, and every day.
Thank you, God.
God, I thank you that you're our healer. I thank you that I've seen you heal people with medicine and by miracles. And I've seen you heal people emotionally. And I've seen you heal marriages. Lord, and I thank you that I'm going to see you do that again. I'm thanking you for the healings I'm going to see soon.
I just want to thank you, Father, for proving me over and over again that you're my provider and that I lack nothing. I lack nothing and I have everything in you. And there's no aspect in life that's not in your control. There's nothing. And any obstacle in life, you're still there. You're still God and you're still in control.
We just want to thank God that he's relational. Thank you, Father, that you're relational and that you want this relationship with us more than we will ever want it with you. And you're so personal in that, every little detail. Thank you, God, that you're a God of joy and that you laugh with us and that you just want to be lighthearted with us all the time.
Father, we just thank you together that you are Emmanuel, you are God with us, and that you never, ever, ever leave us, that you're always with us. And you never let us down, God. And like Sandy said, that you're our provider. And that just the right moment, Father, when we think that you don't care, you show us just how much you care. And that it's way more than we could ever care ourselves. We love you, God.
I just want to thank God for no matter how many times we drift away or how far we drift away from him, that he will always chase us down and welcome us back into his kingdom.
I just want to thank God for running the darkness out of my life and just replacing it with overwhelming joy. And just for him blessing me, just for him blessing me with the people that he did in my dark times. And I just thank him. I just thank him.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for the different ways that you show your love through me. To others, an unworthy vessel that you use. I thank you, Lord, for the times that you make me aware of your presence in the very moment that you are moving through me to bless others. And Lord, I pray that this humbling experience that you give me to be an influence for good to those around me. Lord, it's not me, it's you. And I pray, Lord, that as you cleanse me with your blood, that I can continue to be a pure vessel that you use in spite of who I am.
I just want to thank God for sending his son Jesus, who not only he not only overcame sin, but he also understood it and suffered through it so that he can help us all. And I want to thank God for being, you know, just giving me the words to say, I forgive you, because he can do it with us. And I want to thank God for making me into a storyteller. The stories that I have, they just point. They don't point to me. They point to him.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful, Lord. Even when we're not, you are faithful to all generations, Lord, taught through all the time. You are faithful. Show your love. You are relentless to show your love and compassion and tender mercies that are given every morning to those that, even when we are not faithful, you are there faithfully pursuing and relentlessly showing your love. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here safely, my brother and I, for my big brother Ian. Dear Lord, we thank thee for his life, and we thank thee and the help that this church has been to him and Janet. We thank you, Lord, and bless you, and bless this church, Lord, for the greatness that they showed for them. And we thank thee that we could come here and thank you, church, for thee. Okay.
Thank you, Abba, that when it feels like there's no hope, that you are hope. When it looks like there's absolutely no way that this thing can happen, that you move the mountains and you make it happen. You shock us with what you can do. And thank you that when it seems like there's no way, that you are the way.
Thank you, God, for being my daddy when I didn't have one.
When I was 17 months old, I was adopted, so I thank God for placing me in the family that I'm supposed to be, and I thank God for placing me in the church that I'm supposed to be in, and I thank God every day for giving me a second chance.
Thank you, Lord, for your reckless love for me and my family. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for all the battles you fought for me and my family. Thank you for being there every minute, every time. Thank you because my times are in your hands. Thank you for my children. Thank you for all the good things you have given unto me and my family, because if people were to be chosen, I wouldn't have gotten any children, no job. But you are so good. You are so kind. Thank you for the freedom to worship, for eyes that I can see, for mouth that can use to praise your name, for legs that can walk. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name.
There's a song, Lord, that says, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. While we stand here, we declare our love for you. We say we love you because you first loved us. You love us with a love that's inexplicable, a love that's unconditional, We love you. Your love is different. Our love has conditions attached to it. But your love is the agape kind of love. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our imperfections, in spite of what we did yesterday or this morning, even on our way to church, you still love us. Or what we'll do after church, you still love us. So God, right back at you. We love you.
Amen. Today is the last day that my name shows up at Centerra RMH as a hospital employee, because as of tomorrow, I step out in faith, completely in faith to God, that he used me in a business adventure that I'm starting. And he's been so consistent over the last several years. I'm so excited to see how God's going to just present the right people at the right time with the right circumstances, and just, I'm just praying for the blessings. He's promised the blessings in my life, and I just can't wait to see what he's going to do.
I just thank God for our Asian adopted daughter who just spoke a while ago, that we were able to adopt her. She's such a miracle. It was a miracle that we were able to get her. Yeah, she's just a real miracle. And I also want to thank God. And I thank God for her so much. And I thank God for a number of months ago. I'm sort of like a literal walking testimony. A number of months ago, coming to church for the first time in a while that I'd been here. I couldn't even walk to the door, hardly from my car door to the front door. So I had someone meet me and hold my arm and hand. And coming up front to be prayed for, I still needed someone to hold my arm and hand. And so many times I had to have that happen. And when I would go for walks in my neighborhood, I'd need a help with an arm or hand. And I'm so thankful that now I can walk by myself in our neighborhood for over 2 miles.
Amen.
And I can even jog in our neighborhood.
Thank you, God.
God is just so good. And I love his word and music. And I'm just drawing closer to him and getting stronger in him. And I just thank him for this miracle of me being a walking testimony. And it just feels so good. I just thank God for that. And thank y'all for praying for me and being encouragement and support for me. Thank you. Thank you for the body of Christ here. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus, for our church leaders and what they do and how they submit to you and love you, and that even in their imperfections, if they're swearing when they're plumbing, I just thank you for the forgiveness. And I just pray for others at this church that know they can lean on the body of Christ, that fortunately my family's been able to do in difficult times. I just pray that everybody can know they can do that and come to people and turn to them, because this is the body of Christ.
Thank you. When I was born, there was a very good chance that me and my mom would die, or maybe I would die, or maybe my mom would die when I was born. And we didn't. We are alive and we're saved by Jesus Christ, and I want to thank him for being my savior, my literal savior.
Father God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for valleys. Thank you for mountains. Thank you for times of sickness so that I can know what it's like to be healed. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for this church, for these leaders. Thank you for my son, my family, my wife. Thank you, Father God, that you still have the whole world in the palm of your hands, regardless of what it looks like to me. Thank you for your great faithfulness.